Children's Church is just a children's church.
Let me tell you something before we get.
then it doesn't work, and you work and you work and you work and you work, and now you're totally exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. You're like a little bitty twig getting to be stepped on by an elephant. You're going to snap. And you're saying, God, I'm nowhere. Wow. That song says he's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making his nowhere plans for nobody. This is about a man that's given up. There's all kinds of things you can read into it. You know, some say it talks about drugs, and some say it talks about this and that, and that's fine if that's what it is, but it also speaks right now to us right here, right now. I'm making nowhere plans for nobody. I don't have a point of view. I'm not even know what I'm going to do. And it says, isn't he a bit like you and me? Nowhere man, please listen. You don't know what you're missing. Wow. Nowhere man. Y'all say it. Nowhere man. So here we go. We're watching this guy. We're watching Peter, and we see what's going on. He's not getting ready to go out there again. He's getting ready to quit. He's getting ready to call it a night. Some of y'all in here, when you came in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, you're saying, God, I'm about ready to call it a night. I'm about tired of reaching out and getting nowhere. Now, so watch this now. Of course, there's Mr. Nowhere Man. Here we go. Here's his plan. He's preparing to quit. Some of y'all right now, this is exactly where you're at. Do not raise your hand. Do not point at somebody beside you. Just listen. He's preparing to quit. Here's the process for him to quit fishing. In order for him to quit fishing, he's going to have to, requires a stressful effort because now he's got to pull all the, how many here's ever been a fireman? And you know what's rougher about being a fireman, going to a fire is coming home and having to, you know, everybody's ready, all the firemen are ready to meet you at the fire. Only two or three go back to the station to put up the hoses. Yeah. And you're trying to put the hoses up and you're trying to clean stuff. You're already nasty from the fire. You already stink from the fire. But by the time you clean off the hoses and put them back up, wow! And then put them in so they can come back out by just hooking to a hydrant and driving off. Or grabbing it over your shoulder and walking away. So you have all this work you got to do. Everybody's willing to jump out and fight the fire, but only a few do this because there's so much stress involved in it. Same way with these nets. You had to pull them in. You had to get them ready. So if you ever went back out, you could use them again. Not only was it a stressful effort, you had to examine every piece of that net. You're examining it to see if any pieces are broken. See if there's any holes in there. And while you're looking at every piece, you clean it. So you clean every piece as you're examining every piece. And then after you do this, if there's something broken, you mend it. Wow. And all this is preparation for storage. Matter of fact, you know, some of us in here right now, because we've gotten nowhere, we've decided, well, we'll just put our nets up at least for a while. The only problem is, you put your net up, but still in the back of your mind, you can't stop because the Holy Spirit's still talking to you. The Holy Spirit's still saying, I want to use you. The Holy Spirit's still trying to do something with you. The Holy Spirit's still trying to encourage you. But circumstances and that empty net has you saying, why even try it any longer? And so as you're putting it up, you begin to talk to yourself. And now as you're putting stuff up, you're stressed out. Now you're stressed out. You got a careful examination. Where did we go wrong? Why didn't I do it right? How could I miss this? What happened? And so then you start cleaning up. You start trying to mend up. But you know that no matter what you do, you're getting ready to put it up because you're tired. You're the nowhere man or the nowhere one man. And so see, look now see, that sometimes we do have to take a pause. Don't ever think that you don't need to take a pause sometimes. Sometimes you need to take a break. Sometimes you need to put your feet up. Sometimes you need to pop you a Pepsi and sit back and just read your Bible instead of being out there doing something. Every now and then you need to get a little bit of break. It's necessary for God to restore you. The problem is, if you're not careful, it's one thing to take a break after you had a net full of fishes. It's another thing to take a break when you're a nowhere man. Because when you're a nowhere man, you take a break now and you honestly are considering never even throwing out that net again. I remember when my wife got sick. I'll keep it short because it is, everybody look, it's 12 o'clock. My watch says 11:30, but I set it back so y'all would feel better. I remember my wife got sick and I was in the full-time ministry. I left out the full-time ministry and I went to work at Fountain. And I was working at Fountain Power Boats and I weren't preaching on Sundays and I weren't ministering to people. And I would go in my office and look at all those books and all those thousands of dollars I'd spent on those books and look at my diplomas and look at all this stuff. And I wouldn't tell the boys, I wouldn't tell my wife, but I'd go back there when nobody was looking and I would cry. And I said, God, I feel like a failure. I didn't know it at the time. I do now. I felt like a nowhere man. And my uncle, who was the hardest one of the whole bunch, who was an alcoholic, who nobody even wanted to be around, came up to me one Sunday, put his arm around me, and pulled me outside. And he said, I know it hurts. This is the roughest one of the whole bunch. He says, I know it hurts. And I know you feel like everything's been yanked out from under you. And you want to be ministering, but you're not. He said, I want you to know something. This is a man that nobody wanted to be around. The man hugged me and said, God loves you. And he said, there's a lot of people that love you. And I want you to know that I love you. We were both out there crying in the yard. He said, it's going to be okay. You trust God. That's like Balaam's mule coming. I'm not trying to cut down my uncle. I'm just saying, if you'd have known him, for him to say that to me. But you see, I didn't know that within a matter of weeks, I was going to start doing counseling at Fountain. I didn't know in a couple of weeks that people were start calling me inside boats and they were getting saved inside boats. I didn't know that all of a sudden some of these big, high-powered executives would call me in their room and shut the door and say, I need you to talk to me about God. I got a problem in my marriage. I got this. And then Mr. Fountain started introducing me to celebrities and to politicians and to the bankers. He'd say, this is our ISO guy. He said, well, this is also our company plant pastor. You need to see something. Go talk to him. And so what I found out was God had a plan. I didn't understand. And even right now, the reach went all around the world. I felt like a nowhere man. And the reach went all around the world. God says, you're never a nowhere man. Ever. You may feel like it, but I got a plan even in your nowhere minutes, if you'll trust me. So now, here he is. Put it up. It's it. Forget it. And then the somewhere man came along. Here comes Jesus. The chance. This was no accident. Matter of fact, I like the way Jesus did it. Jesus came to him with a purpose, and he came with him on time, and he came with him on target. He came with him when he on purpose because he came to him when he knew that he was getting ready to call it quits. I'm stepping out on the board here. I hope it's not a plank. There's some of you right now started this year saying, God, if something doesn't soon happen, forget it. I'm through with it. And Jesus is coming at you today. Not me. I'm just his servant. Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, is talking to us in our hearts today. And at the point where you want to quit, he says, launch back out. Wow. You see, he came to him, the purpose came to him just when he was getting ready to quit. He came, and the timing, he came to him when he was totally exhausted, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. He was burnt out. He was burnt like a crisp. Both ends of the candle had already met in the middle. He was ready. God, I have had it. And he says, okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Launch back out. Didn't hear me, did you, God? Obviously, you're not watching the same program I'm watching. You didn't see my nets were empty. You didn't see I've given all I got. You must not know that I'm totally physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually exhausted. And Jesus says, yeah, I do. You see, he had a target, and it was get back in there. Get back in and watch what was getting ready to happen. You see, watch this. He didn't just say get back in there. Woo! It's one thing to get back in there. You know what the definition of insanity is? Albert Einstein said the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Some of y'all are insane. I'm insane. I put us all in the same boat. Albert Einstein was a smart man. I like his haircut. I'm trying to get like him. It's like Daniel said at Christmas. Daniel said he was not going to wear, he was going to pick out what he was going to wear. Michelle said, you're going to wear this red shirt. He said, I'm going to pick out what I'm going to wear. She said, you're going to wear this red shirt. He said, I'm going to pick out what I'm going to wear. So he said, I picked out my pants. He wore his red shirt. I told my wife, I like medium hair. She likes long hair. I like medium hair. She likes long hair. So we compromised Islam. Fellas, there's a good message in that for some of y'all. Not necessarily about your hair, but about something else you can think about. Okay. So the challenge was to go out to here he goes. He gives him a challenge. And the challenge is, he says, I want you to go out into the deep. Now, Jesus, don't you know you're a carpenter? You have no idea about fishing. You don't go out in the deep waters because the waters drop very. I mean, if you go to see a galley, all of a sudden it goes boosh, and we can't fix our nets. If we get our nets, we're going to have to go in and dive way down, and it's going to be tough. And the seas, the way the mountains are, the storms will come up so fast. If you're out deep, you could be flooded and pushed down and go under. And Jesus said, not. I want you to get back in there. But not only I want you to get back in there, I want you to give it more. Somebody do this with me. Have you ever done this to you? Has your child ever done this to you? Has your wife ever told you to do something and you went when she weren't looking at? You never do it in front of her. All right, how many in here have ever looked at your wife and went, nee, 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 nee. In their face. You want to tell me another lie? You might walk off and go, nee, 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 nee. I've heard her say, I heard that. Oh, no. I was mocking Yogi Bear. Hey, Yogi. So watch. Going out to the deep. I want you to get out deeper. Now you're going to have to get where your feet now are no longer even going to touch the ground. Now you're going to have to get out so far. Uh-oh. Now you're going to get out so far that you're going to have to trust me. It's one thing to be in the shallow water. Yep, God, I'm doing it. Look at this, Lord, I'm doing it. I'm in the boat. I'm out of the boat. I'm in the boat. I'm out of the boat. And I'm nowhere. And I'm saying, God, if something else would happen, I'm quitting. So God says, get out to where you can't do this anymore. Get out to where you have to trust me. Somebody go, So now look, now there's tremendous risk involved. because now you could drown. Lord, didn't you understand I'm totally exhausted? Didn't you understand that I'm mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally exhausted? And you're telling me to get out to where I can't even jump over the side and be safe? He said, yeah, and there's another one too. We could do it in the daytime. See, you like, you know, we'll sacrifice to God. Hear me out, because I'm in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. We'll sacrifice to God as long as it's comfortable. We'll work for Him as long as it's comfortable. But I said it in the very beginning of our communion service. How would it be if God treated you like you treated Him? I'll leave that one right there. There's nothing else to say, about that. So at daytime, now you're forced to deal with the heat. Now you're forced to deal with extreme obstacles, because now you're not just out there by yourself fishing. There's other fishermen. There's other things going on. There's kids out there playing. There's people out there washing stuff. You got to watch out what's going on. Now you're out, and you go out in the deep. When you go out in the deep, there's all kinds of things you got to watch out for. There's all kinds of stuff happening. And you're forced now to work with others. My report card one time said, doesn't play well with others. When I came back, it no longer said that. Because not only did I not play well with others, it didn't set well with others. Amen. So now, watch this. We're almost through. Y'all saying, are we going to get through now? Are we going to get through today? Yeah, get ready. Here we go. Somewhere man's got this plan. Nowhere man has no plan, just quit. But the somewhere man has this plan. And his plan is, first is, I know you're tired, I know you're exhausted, I know it's tough. I want you to get beyond the natural, the simple, the easy. I remember me and DC and Daniel, when we moved to Benson, I was teaching them how to fish. And the first month, I didn't even fish. I just hung around with them and showed them how. And then we buy these little fancy lures because when you're in Beaufort County, you can always look to one side and find water. But when you're in Benson, it's not there. You have to find little mud holes called ponds. And so we're in the pond fishing. And DC and Daniel, to start with, were kind of scared to go fishing in the pond because there were so many. There were snapping turtles, and there was these humongous bass. Daniel caught a bass about as big as him. It was a 10-pound bass, and when he held it up, it was humongous. He stuck his arm in it that far. And there was sticks, and there was stuff to snag. And DC and Daniel would say, Dad, we just lost your lure. We're sorry, Dad. We lost the lure. And I said, I'm teaching you how to fish. I said, don't let that lure keep you from learning how to fish. I say, Walmart sells them every day. And so DC and Daniel, first they go, oh, Dad, I'm sorry. After about a month or two, they would go, Dad, I lost it. And they go, that's right. Walmart sells them every day. They're smiling. They remember that. Yeah. And so they would go out. And they got to be good fishermen. I can't say much on their boat driving, but they're really good. I'm just playing. Y'all know they had a boat wreck on, you know. If you got Facebook, there's a boat for sale. A little buff job, it'll be fixed. Okay. The Lentons are having a hard time this last couple of days between the trying to cut my thumb off and them trying to remodel their boat. What it was it was too long. They were trying to make it shorter. All right, I'll leave that alone. I'm not going to get whooped when I get out of here. Amen. God wants us to avoid shallow spiritual living. You can say, well, God, I'm deep. But you know what? You may think you're deep, but what about God? What does He say? Well, God, I'm doing my best. Are you? Well, God, I've seen people get mad. Because people get mad. Not in here. There's nobody in here. Please. I've seen people get mad because they wanted you to come to church early to practice. Nobody in here. And they say, what's wrong with 5 minutes before the service? Okay. You can go over them songs 5 minutes before service. How deep is that? What if I spent 5 minutes before the service fixing a sermon? What if you spent 5 minutes before supper figuring out what you're going to cook for your family? I'm getting rid of metal now. What if I only spent 5 minutes on my homework? Some of y'all, that'd be a long stretch, wouldn't it? What if? What if we got merit raises working for God like we got merit raises at work? Big question, isn't it? What if? There's a lot of what ifs. What if you had to fill out an application to be a Christian and had requirements? And if they weren't met, Jesus said, no, you're not going to be my child. You won't be my disciple. No. We can go deeper. We can give it a better shot. The deep's calling unto the deep. Y'all say it, the deep's calling unto the deep. A lot of times when you're exhausted, you don't realize this. I'm going to give you a little secret. When you are mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally exhausted, and you're thinking it's time to hang up the spurs, put the saddle back up, pick up the net, put it back, you don't realize that when you're at this point, it's at this point that the deep calls unto the deep. It's at this point that God issues His challenges. Look at all those people that he used in the Bible. That's when He calls them. When they come to the end of their self, then God says, I can use you. So now, instead of backing down, it's time to step back up. I don't want to be a nowhere man. I want to be a somewhere man. Amen? So now, just quickly, I'm going to go through this and we're through. Y'all guys, you start getting ready. Y'all guys can start getting ready. I'm going to read this scripture. It's hard to turn the Bible when your thumb is caught up. You know, at least I got matching fingers now. Y'all don't know this, but about two months ago, I was putting up a thing in my office. As I was putting a thing in my office, I had an electric screwdriver. And it slipped off the anchor and it went right into my finger to the bone. It's still sore. But I couldn't use that finger for about 3 weeks and very very seldom could I use it the fourth week. And that's my main finger to play the bass with. So I was trying to play with other fingers. And so now I get this thumb and this is my pivot. I had to stay on this to play the bass. And so I was doing it like this today. And so I was kind of like, I went out into the deep because I definitely couldn't be on the shoreline. There was no shore to hold on to. Amen. So watch this now. I want you to listen. Somewhere plan. Get beyond the natural to the supernatural. First, and here's what God's going to do for every last one of us. I want you to think about this. It's important. Watch it. It is amazing at what God can do. First, the challenge. Verse 5. He says, and Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net. Number one, he accepted the challenge. Number two, the catch. Verse 6, and when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. Number 7, he experienced divine cooperation. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in other ship, and that they should come and help them. And when they came, they filled both of the ships, so that it began to sink. Number 8. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell to his knees, at Jesus' knees, and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished at all that were there with him, and at the dry of the fishes which they had taken. And he said, it also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, "Fear not, from henceforth you will catch men." Play something that we can get back into it. Get back, pick up your net. Something, pick up your net and get back in there. Pick up your net and get back in there. Pick up your net and get back in there. God's got something for every last one of us. You see, to change. First, his end look. Jesus, I'm not even worthy. His outlook, or his uplook, because you're Jesus. Look at what you can do. And his outlook, you're going to go out and you're going to make a difference. A big difference. You see, he thought it was his end. He was a nowhere man. But it was only the beginning. Because now, he was a somewhere man. God is wanting us to step out of the nowhere land and step into the somewhere land. He's calling us to step out into the deep. He's calling us to go out further. He's calling us to get where the water. We can't even keep our feet on the bottom. We can't even touch the bottom. He knows you're physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally exhausted. But he says, although you're physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally exhausted, that's when I can use you, because that's when you have to have me or you will sink. Everybody stand. That's the perfect song. Amazing Grace. It's amazing. It's amazing. You may be wanting to quit, and grace says give it one more try. You may be feeling unworthy, but grace says give it one more try. You may be feeling like, well, God, I don't even deserve it. That's what Peter said. But he says, give it one more try. One more. One more. One more. One more try. God has an answer. You are not a nowhere man. God has something for you. Now, I don't know exactly how to even end this other than I just want you all that will to come get this altar. All that will. I'm not going to give any specifics, just all that will. I want you to come get in this altar. I want you to tell God. Tell him. If I'm talking to you and you feel like you're nowhere, you feel like you got nowhere, you're a nowhere man. Okay. Okay. Where's Sister Norma at? Okay, she's all there. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I understand. I understand, Lord. And I thank you, God, that when I feel like I can get nowhere, that's when you're fixing to start it all back up over again and something special is getting ready to happen. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. 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 Thank you, Father. Just sing that. Stand up. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Grace says, let down your net again. Grace is calling you back into the deep. Grace says, I'm not through with you yet. Grace says, I got something special. You never can ever imagine, but you won't find out if you put your nets up. Ain't always bad when you quit, and after you quit, you find out the best was yet to come. That lady that was in the funeral home told him, said, when I die, I want you to put a fork in my hand. And the undertaker said, if that's what you request, you can have a fork in your hand. But she said, why do you want a fork in your hand? She says, because all my life, after we got through eating a nice meal, I'd always say, keep your fork. Because dessert was coming. The best is yet to come. And she said, put a fork in my hand. So when I'm laying my coffin, people ask me, what's that fork for? You can say, she knows the best is yet to come. Some of y'all, this is the year of reconciliation. Remember, the first person you got to reconcile yourself to is you. You. Then you reconcile with God and you. Then you worry about other people. We'll start with is you and God. But you watch this year. You're not going to be a nowhere man, woman. You're going to be a somewhere woman, man. Come back tonight. Now, tonight's special. Because remember, starting now, starting right now this year, remember we're trying this. We're only going to have one Sunday night a month. So please, everybody that will come. All right? Now, I know next Sunday night you ain't got to say, wow, we got a good church Sunday night. There's no church next Sunday night. There's no more until February. Tonight, come on out. We're going to be in the fellowship hall. And for our inaugural fellowship, bring the finger food. I already made my finger food. Makes good dipping chip. So I spit it right down the middle. So I thought about it. I could have left the stitches out and used it to hold my string. All right. So bring a finger food tonight. Now, if everybody comes in with band-aids on their fingers, I ain't eating none of it. So come out tonight. Bring a finger food. I'm not exactly sure how our inaugural is going to go, but the following month, something special is already planned. I remember the War Room. Heard the movie The War Room. Next of February, next time we meet, we're going to see The War Room. Okay? So we got things going. Sunday nights are going to be special. Everyone, we're going to be special. This Sunday night, bring finger foods. We're going to have a fellowship, short devotion. We're going to sing and have a good time. And please do all you can to be here. It's important that we share in fellowship. Because I can guarantee you tomorrow, you're not going to have the fellowship you got now. All right? God's awesome. Brother Frank, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Lord, to reach out to our fellow man like we've never done before. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you bestow in our lives each and every day. And help us, Lord God, to go forth from this place and be the witness that you've called us to be. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.